Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We do take food for granted, I think, because it's readily available, because we really don't have any problems, because we really don't understand that feeling of desperation that comes from a lack of food, because we've been blessed to be raised and living in the society in which we live. The food's vitally important for people. It really makes a big difference in a lot of different ways. It is really the difference between life and death. And yet, it is one of those things, I think, that we waste more than probably any other of the resources that God has blessed us with. So it really is important we have a good understanding of the value of our food and how that might be able to be used to help people in Honduras or people in Bosnia or in Africa or even here in the Phoenix area. If you don't think food's vitally important, then you've never had a 14-year-old son. Because before breakfast is ever completed, the question inevitably is, what are we having for dinner? I tend to compartmentalize things, and so I kind of go from A, B, C, and D, and work my way that direction. I don't go to the grocery store and do a week's worth of shopping. I go to the grocery store, quite honestly, every day, because I really don't have a schedule that allows me to be able to work things out to figure out what we're going to have for dinner on Thursday. I'm still figuring out what we're going to have for dinner on Sunday. And so I go and I buy the food that I need for that given day in that evening, come home, make it, and there it is, dinner. Now, dinner's changed a great deal over the years. It used to be that on average it took 2 hours to prepare a normal, everyday dinner. We don't have those 2 hours anymore. And so the whole nature of the dinner table and sitting down and having dinner as a family unit and taking that time to be able to figure out what's going on in life really has changed a great deal, and it is a struggle for some families to be able to get together, because apart from not having time to prepare the meal, we have those challenges going off of things happening after school, things like different sporting events, being in the band, being in different clubs or organizations, the audacity of having friends and doing things with them. And then we have our own schedules to deal with in terms of working late, volunteering at church, doing all kinds of other things to be able to take us out and about, making our schedules quite frenetic and hectic and not allowing us those 2 hours we need. And we have a sense as a society that we want to grab that time back, that we want to have dinner because we know the value of it, the value of being able to sit down with the family, being able to relax, being able to converse and talk about the day. We want to be able to do that. But quite often we can't. And so we need to blame somebody. It's the rationalization of the human species. It's really not my fault, is it? I'd do this if I could, but I can't do it. So who's to blame? Well, let's see. Who are we going to blame for the problems we have in terms of not being able to sit down for dinner? Well, we can blame Ray Kroc, can't we? He's a good one to blame. For those of you who don't know, Ray Kroc's the guy who invented McDonald's, which was pretty much what kicked off the fast food industry. Or we can blame Betty Cronin. You all know Betty, don't you? In 1952, Betty Cronin worked for Swanson Foods. She was a dietitian there. She is the one who invented the TV dinner. I don't believe we call them TV dinners anymore, but we know what a TV dinner is, and she's the one who put it into motion to be able to make our lives a lot easier. But the problem is, because each one of those TV dinners was individualized, one person would eat at one time, one person eat another time, one person might eat a third time, and so you don't have, again, that ability to sit down at the table. sitting at the table is important. Things happen at the dining room table or the kitchen table that don't happen anywhere else. Conversations take place there if we properly structure it. You know, don't have the TV on, don't have everybody have their iPhones plugged into their ears so they're listening to music, being able to kind of absolve themselves of being caught up in that moment of family time. I'll give you an example. It was the end of June of this year. Typical work day doing the things that I do as a pastor. I get an email from an old friend. The old friend asked me if I would be interested or know of anybody would be interested in this opening at a church in Scottsdale, Arizona. So I get on the computer and say, nope. Because I could not, well, actually, I could say I said nope because within the email it said it's 120 degrees here today. But I said nope because I had two teenage children living with me, and I could not imagine my two teenage children being all get up excited about the fact that we're going to travel 2,700 miles across the country to a place you've never been before with people you've never met or experienced, to a culture that's totally different and weather that is something a little bit out of the ordinary for you. But ego being what ego is, as we were sitting at the dining room table, sitting and talking, I said, hey, I got this email today. And I thought it was pretty cool that somebody was actually interested enough in me that they're going to send me an email saying, would you consider this? Because that doesn't happen in the pastoral world very often. And so I was just kind of feeling good about myself, and I said, this is what happened. So we sat and ate, we talked about some other things, and Emma turned to me and goes, you know, I think you should do it. Do what? You should interview for that church. The one in Arizona? Yeah. You want to move? Yeah. Well, you need to talk to your brother about this. But it was at the table. Because things are different at the table. It's at the table that we begin to understand people and personalities a little bit better. It's at the table that we get to know people that we haven't known before. If you think about social situations you've been at where you've sat at a table with somebody you really haven't known, when the meal's over and you get up from that table, you know that person. Because it is at the table that we really get to know individuals. It's at the table that we begin to truly understand who somebody is. It is at the table that conversations take place. It's at the table that we begin to see a person that we had not seen before. At the table, we're introduced to somebody who was a stranger. And they become a friend. In today's gospel lesson, we're taken back to Easter Sunday. You know, that's the beauty of Easter. We keep going back to that day. These Sundays after Easter, we're back to Easter Day. Back to that day when the women went to the tomb. Back to that time, just 2 hours after they had left there, where the dopey disciples are walking down the road to Emmaus going, oh, I wonder what's going on. I don't understand this. They told us this was going to happen, but this doesn't make any sense to me. Nobody ever thinks to say, oh, well, you know, Jesus did say this was going to happen. Oh, I don't understand what's going on here. Gee, I miss Jesus. And then Jesus shows up. And we get the disciples off the hook because we are told that they were blinded by his presence. They didn't understand it was him. So it's not that they were that dopey. They're, oh, who are you? You don't look like anybody I know before. And so they have this conversation. He opens their eyes to the scriptures and helps them understand exactly what this all means and how the Messiah and the role of Jesus fits into all of this. But they still don't get it. Not until they sit down at the table. As soon as he breaks the bread, their eyes open up and they go, "Oh, look at that!" And then they understand. And then they see. And then they believe. God invites us to this table. It is at this table that our eyes of faith are opened. It is this table that we receive the sacrament of Jesus, the sacrament of communion, His body and His blood, those things that He gave and sacrificed for our sake. It is at this table that our eyes of faith are open, that the conversations take place, that we begin to know and understand and see and encounter Christ in a way that we could not anywhere else. It is at the table that we are invited to be part of Christ's life. It's at this table that God calls us. The table is an integral part of who we are. It is part of our family. It is that gift that we've been given that we don't really understand that it is a gift. That we have those opportunities to be able to sit and relax. It is at the table that we have the chance to be able to sit and renew ourselves by refueling our bodies with the blessing of food and drink. It is at the table that we get to better know people that we know quite well. Or get to meet people that we've never encountered before. It is at the table where God blesses us. It is at the table that Christ invites us. That's why I invite you now to come to this table and to encounter Christ and understand the blessings that God has placed within your lives.